As a church, we are continuing on in our series through the seven I am statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. Tonight, we started 2 weeks ago with I am the bread of life. Last week, Elder Bob led us through some reflections on I am the light of the world. Tonight, we'll be looking at the third I am statement, I am the door, or more specifically, I am the door of the sheep. It's in John 10. We'll be looking specifically at verses 7 through 10 tonight. You can see it in your bulletin. Would you all please stand at this time for the reading of God's holy word? God's word says this. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's God's word. Please remain standing as I pray for our time in the scripture. Lord, Father, you tell us that when your word goes out, it accomplishes exactly what you intend for it to accomplish. Lord, that is my hope and confidence and prayer tonight as we gather around this portion of the scriptures. Lord, we pray that you would have your way in terms of conviction, in terms of encouragement, in terms of comfort. Do all the things that only you can do through your Holy Spirit and through the word tonight. We ask that for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Students, kindergarten through fifth grade, if we have any in the room, can head to the back, head to Sunday school. Thank you. All right. So as the kids file out here, so I want to start off tonight, friends, as we consider this statement from Jesus, this third I am, about him being the door of the sheep. I want to start with a little background information. It's information that I think and that I hope will be helpful as we seek to understand this statement a little bit better, and then ultimately to apply the truth of this statement to our lives, to our hearts, to make it more real to us as followers of Jesus in the 21st century. So a little background to help make that happen. So the really basic question that I want to start with to help kind of tease out some of this background stuff is this. It's the question of why is it in the first place that sheep pens need doors? Why does a sheep pen need a door? Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." Maybe you've heard it translated as gate, similar idea. Why is that needed? Either back in Jesus' own day or today, currently. Why is that necessary? So immediately, you might think to yourself, well, Brian, of course, the point of a door on a sheep pen is to, you know, to help make sure that the sheep don't just wander off. To help make sure that the sheep don't get lost in the wilderness somewhere in some way. You know, we all know that sheep have a reputation. What's the reputation of sheep? Yeah, not too bright. That's the reputation. And so, you know, maybe the door, the gate is needed to help protect the sheep from themselves. So again, so they don't hurt themselves out somewhere where they didn't intend to be. I think that's true. I think that's part of the reason that a sheep pen needs a door or a gate. But I don't think that's the main thing being focused on in our text. You might have picked it up as we were reading. I think the main reason, the real answer to the question of why a sheep pen needs a door is because of the reality of natural threats from the outside world. All kinds of threats in the outside world because of the reality of things like thieves, as we see mentioned in the text. Things like robbers. All kinds, we could add to that, all kinds of natural predators and dangers coming really in all shapes and sizes, a whole variety of different, you know, you think of predators, you think of bears, lions, wolves, all of these things, sharp claws, teeth, maybe hungry, that might go after a sheep. All coming with the same kind of evil intent to either steal if they're a thief, or to kill if they're a wild animal, or again, destroy, as we see those three words mentioned in the text. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. All those things focused on this gathering of sheep, this vulnerable flock. Fuzzy, not fuzzy. Are they fuzzy? Fuzzy or hairy? I'm not sure which is better.
Woolly.
There you go. Thank you. Much better. Woolly little animals. They're vulnerable. Right? That's why we need a door, because the door protects them. It keeps those things out. The door protects. So thinking about doors this week, when I was living in Chicago a number of years ago, I was working at the New Balance shoe store in Chicago. Loved it. It was a good time of life. When I was living there in the city, I had four basic modes of transportation. Jessica Pedersen knows about this, right? Yep. So I would walk places, I would run places, I would take the public transit, which was either the bus or the L train, or I would ride a bike. Didn't have a car. You don't really need a car when you're living in the city. Things are close. You have all these other options. So that was it. Those were the modes of getting around. And I especially loved the bicycle option. The bicycle option was really great for a couple different reasons. Number one, it was way faster than walking. Way faster. Secondly, you didn't have to work nearly as hard. You didn't get nearly as sweaty as if you were running. And it's still faster, right? And then thirdly, on top of all that, it's way cheaper than doing the public transit. You know, if you're hopping on a bus or a train every time, you're paying every time you get on. With the bike, once you own the bike, as long as you're not doing the constant maintenance, the bike is free. Just a little bit of the pedaling and you're good to go. So the bike was great. It was a great option, a great way to get around in the city. Of course, there was a problem with the bike. And the problem, at least for me, with biking was the constant threat, the outside threat, of having your bike either stolen or vandalized in some way, especially at moments when you least expected it. Anyone here ever had a bike stolen? Yeah. It's a bummer, right? Anyone here ever stolen a bike? It's okay. There's forgiveness, right? Yeah. I saw that hand. Yeah, bikes stolen is a bummer. And during the time that I lived in Chicago, kind of in a two-year span, I had two bikes stolen. It really, really bummed me out. One time, the story was, this one, I honestly, the thief, thinking about thieves, I almost want to congratulate whoever it was that stole my bike. It was an accomplishment, because I lived on this second-story apartment. There's a balcony off the back. And there's a stairwell up to the balcony. But there's also a fence. So there's a parking lot, a fence, the stairwell, all this stuff. So I kept my bike chained to this railing. And got up one morning to go to work, unchained my bike. And then I remembered suddenly, oh, I forgot to brush my teeth. Can't go to work without brushing your teeth, especially working at new shoes. You know, you're helping people, you're close. Ran back inside, brushed the teeth, didn't even floss. Seriously, it was like 2 to 3 minutes. And in that time, bike was gone. I figured, man, it's going to be fine, right? Just 2 to 3 minutes, in and out, real quick. No, it was not fine. I did like a triple take. I could not believe. I was like, wait, it was here? No, it's not. Yeah, so it was a sad day. So I forget how I got to work, but it wasn't the bike. I was late. The second bike that was stolen was a little bit more my fault. It was kind of foolish, especially after having it happen once. You'd think you'd learn something, Brian, right? But it was sad, too, because it was a really nice bike. The first one was kind of a secondhand job. This one was actually a gift that my coworkers at New Balance bought for me when they learned that I was engaged and I was getting married to Angie. So it was a really sweet gift that they got me. They were like, hey, here's a cool, you're going to be married gift. I was like, sweet. So it was an awesome bike. But one night I left it, again, outside chained, or not chained, actually, U-locked. You know the U-lock thing. I U-locked it between the tire and the frame. I was trying to do it right to a railing. And got up the next morning for an early Bible study. Once again, someone had sawed through the railing. Yeah, that's commitment. Oh, I should have known. So it was super sad. It was a bummer. But in reflection on all that, as I think back to it, I'll say this. I think that both times, in both of these instances, I'm pretty sure that if my bike had been not just, you know, locked to a railing, or if it hadn't just been sitting kind of freely on a balcony, even just for 2 minutes, but if it had been behind a door in some way, if it had been secured and protected by a closed door, I'm pretty sure I'd still have those bikes. They'd still be around somewhere in some way. Because, you know, the door would provide that protection, that security. It's what doors do. So the point of all that in some way is really this. It's to say that just like, you know, a bicycle on the streets of Chicago, which is vulnerable in different ways, sheep too, if they're not secured, sheep, if they're not protected in some way, and especially so behind a door, sheep are vulnerable as well. And we're just like that. We're sheep as well. And we're vulnerable as well. Again, to all these things that we see in the text, to being stolen or killed, destroyed, it's a metaphor in a lot of those ways, but it's all bad news, right? If any of that happens to a sheep, it's bad. If any of that happens to us, it's hard. It's bad. So doors provide security. They provide protection from outside threats. Just like you could think even for us. You know, if we go in the house, you go in your living room, you close the door of your house, lock it behind you, you feel that sense of security. You feel safe in your house. That's what doors do. But there's something else here that I want to focus in on, something that I think that was really interesting to me as I learned it this week. And so I want to share it about specifically what Jesus is saying here about doors and sheep pens. And I actually want to just read this straight out of the commentary that I was reading this week, because I think it was really well put. And this author paints a scene really well here. So this is a guy, if you care about this, this is a guy named Colin Cruz. And he's writing in the Tyndale New Testament Commentary series. And he writes this, painting the scene here. He says, the setting of this passage in John 10, where Jesus says, I am the door, the setting is in the open country. So just imagine that. Imagine the open country into which the shepherd would lead the sheep for grazing, and where in the summer months, shepherd and sheep might spend the night together. Overnight, the sheep were placed in roughly constructed round stone-walled enclosures. The top of the dry stone wall of these enclosures was covered with thorns to keep out wild animals. Inside the enclosure, the sheep were safe, so long as the entrance to this enclosure was secured by the shepherd. And then here's the really interesting part to me. It says, he, the shepherd, when it became night, the shepherd would sleep with his own body laying across the entrance of this enclosure, as there was no door on the enclosure. There was no door on the enclosure. So, in other words, that's interesting to me. So in all this talk about doors and how they provide security and they provide protection, it turns out the reality is that the kind of door being envisioned here in John 10 by Jesus, it wasn't a literal door at all. Not in the sense that we normally think of doors in terms of something made of wood or of metal or some other material that you can knock on or lock or hang a wreath on. It wasn't that kind of door at all. No, it was a person. the sheepfold, the door on the sheepfold was actually the shepherd himself. It was this simple flesh and blood human being, this guy who probably had a rod and a staff, who would keep his eyes out during the day, and then when it became night, when it got dark, he would lay his own body across that open, vulnerable enclosure, that hole in the enclosure, so that he could guard, so that he could protect the flock himself with his own life. So that none of those wild things, those outside threats, could get in. That's what they did. And so, putting that together then, it's really, I think, to me it's cool. Because when Jesus says straightforwardly here in our text, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." And then a few moments later, he says, "Hey, guys, by the way, I'm also the good shepherd as well." It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that Jesus can be both the door of the sheep on the one hand and the good shepherd on the other, because the door is a person. The door is the shepherd. It's flesh and blood. By day and by night. Whatever it comes, whatever it takes. So, with that as background then, that kind of filling in this picture of what this would have looked like, here's the next question that I want to ask and answer. If sheep pens need doors because sheep are vulnerable, woolly creatures, and if they need doors because there are, in reality, all kinds of threats and hardships outside in the world, especially at night, when things come out, the next question is, how is it then that Jesus serves as the door for us? How is Jesus our door as believers in him? If the door is a person who protects and secures and guards sheep, especially in hostile environments, how is it that Jesus does that for us is the question. And I think the answer, as we look at the text, as we see what was spelled out for us from verses 7 to 10, the answer is, he saves us. That's how Jesus does these things. Jesus saves as the door. We enter in by him, through him, and we are saved. Once and for all, we're saved in the most ultimate kind of way, the most important way that a person can be saved. Jesus is that door unto which true and ultimate rescue, true salvation comes. We enter in through the door of Jesus Christ and we have peace with God. The wrath of God against sin is no longer upon us because it is spent on Christ. We have this abundant life when we enter through the door. The abundant life that we see mentioned at the end of verse 10. So just as the door for the sheep provided that security, as the door provided an ensured safe passage, as the sheep were going from these different points, from the fold to the pasture land where they would graze and be nourished and then back into the fold again, so too does Jesus secure us. Jesus provides for us in the most ultimate and eternal way, providing righteousness, providing peace with God. The reconciliation that our souls need. That's what he does for us as his sheep. He saves us in that way. We enter into his fold by grace, and we rest in his good pasture continually as people of faith. I was reminded this week thinking of this idea, I mean, this reality of being saved and what that is and what that means as we look at the scriptures. Ultimate salvation and rescue and redemption. I was reminded of Paul's words in Romans 10. They're words you're probably familiar with. Romans 10, Paul says this. He says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Yes. That's it. That's what Jesus provides. That's how he secures us. And we all know, I don't even have to say it, that doesn't mean that hard things don't happen here, that we don't feel the reality of outside threats, that we don't see the fangs sometimes and even have fear. But we can know ultimately that we are behind that door, and there is security in Christ, behind the door that is Jesus. So the question for us might be, just one of them, for maybe someone in the room, is, have you gone through the door? Have you believed? Have you put your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ and come behind his protection? Again, I'll read it. Jesus says in verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That language there is the language of promise. It's the language of guarantee. If this, then this. You enter by me, this will happen. You will be saved. It's a guarantee and a promise from God's word. And then we will go in and out and find this good pasture. So I thought about this for myself this week, what it means to me personally, that Jesus is the door of the sheep. I realized that I think the greatest thing about this truth for me, this third I am statement, the greatest thing about it to me is that it means that if Jesus is the door, he's the protector, he's the one who provides security, it means that I just get to keep being a sheep. He can be the door. I can be the sheep. There's nothing more expected of me than to be in his fold, to be in his flock. I don't need to become something that I'm not or pretend to be something. I don't need to try and, you know, be some perfectly religious person so that I can earn his protection in some way, because it's a gift. It's by grace and through faith. I don't have to become hostile in this world because, you know, in a response to all the hostile things that are around me, because I can trust that Jesus is the door. He's got it. He is the avenger of wrongs. I can just be the sheep. And that goes for all of us. We can just be the sheep, and I think that's a good thing. We can be his flock. We can be his fold. Trusting that he's keeping watch, that he is guarding, that he's doing all of these things as that door. I think I want to draw us to a close here. And the way I want to do that is by reading actually from a psalm. As I was thinking about all these different themes of security and protection and guarding, I thought of the words of Psalm 3. So I want to close this just by reading Psalm 3. And Psalm 3 is a rich one. If you look at it, it's a psalm of David. And the note on it says, it's a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So even if you don't know the story of what was going on there, you know that if you're fleeing from your son, you're in a bad way. Things are not going well. Like, there are threats in your life. There are hard things in your life if you're fleeing from your own son. And yet in the midst of David's hard place where he's feeling the threats, he cries out to God. And these are the words that he cries. So I want to close this with this. Hear God's word from Psalm 3. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, you are a shield about me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Amen. 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 Go through the door. Know the security and the protection eternally that is Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for all of these rich and deep ways that you invite us in, that you welcome us in to know you. Lord, thank you that you are the door through which we find security and protection. Lord, I pray that that truth would go with us all of this week. Every time we walk through a door, would we be reminded of who you are, of your care, of your protection, of your strength, God, as the door, as our protector. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We love you, Brian.